Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, let's get stuck into the seven observations. Number one, I had to tweet about this guy. Wardlaw's a weapon.
He is.
Isn't he a sharp weapon?
The Lost Beetle.
I was captivated by him. Like every time he was flashing through my TV screen, I was just my eyes were drawn to him. And there's a lot to love about his game. Firstly, his power, I reckon, Hodgie. And I just think. A couple of draft picks can change the direction of your footy club, and I've said that a couple of times about North. So Sheasel, Wardlaw and Phillips in the centre bounce in crucial stages when the game's on the line in the last quarter.
They all combined to get that one goal, didn't they?
To Zerha. Zerha kicked the goal. I wrote it down, 12 minutes, 10 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. I thought, gee, that's a good moment. Now, Essendon weren't old. I mean, they had some young players through, which Brad Scott was quick to point out after the game. But I really like the midfielders, Hodgie, with speed, power and courage. And I think he's got a good combination of all three.
Yeah, I think we spoke a little while ago about the Phillips decision over McDonald. And you'd look up there and think Larky and McDonald playing as a forward line would look pretty good. But the guys that you just spoke of then on the weekend were the three leading clearance players for North Melbourne. Phillips had 27 touches, 8 clearances and 6 tackles. Wardlaw had 17 touches, 7 clearances, 6 tackles. And Sheasel had 21 touches, 5 clearances. And Wardlaw and Phillips only played mid-70% of the game. So those young blokes are still learning. They're still developing their tank. But I think you're right, Kane. The more you see them play, now that they've had their opportunity, you start to think, well, maybe they have picked the right guys there for their list growing.
Wardlaw's got that uncanny ability to run at speed with his hands almost on the ground.
Mm.
Very few can do it.
Mm.
And yet he was almost falling over, and yet his legs were still motoring along when he came out of one of the stoppages.
Yeah, and he's not like the finished product, Sammy. Like, he made some errors. He got run down a couple of times and did too much. But, I mean, he's played 3 games.
Don't think he was in full training until mid-February. They were so cautious with him. It was a more reconditioning than he. So wait until he gets a full preseason under the
belt. Observation.
Kane. And you speak about North Melbourne. They feel over the last few years that they've made a lot of bad errors. And losing Horne Francis was a big loss for a lot of their players, considering what star he's going to be. But it gives them a little bit of hope that these three young guys are going to be the future of this football club. Yep. So at least you can put a bit of a smile on the North Melbourne.
No doubt. There's reason to watch, and strong performance the last 3 weeks, actually, to be fair, for North. Just be good for them to get some reward with a W on the win-loss column. Observation number two. Cripps' form drop-off from 2022, this is Patrick, to 2023 is about as stunning as we've seen, I reckon. Now, he's under the pump. He's clearly playing with the weight of expectation on his shoulders. But 8 out of 12 games this year, he's had under 10 kicks. Now, I know he's not a high kick player. He does a lot of damage with his handball. But to just look back to what he was doing last year, I thought it was one of the great individual seasons, and he was rewarded rightly with the Brownlow. Kicked 20 goals, burst out of stoppage, power, strength, come with me, guys. I just haven't seen any of that this year. So clearly the weight of expectation on him, Hodgie. I'm assuming his body is fine, Sammy, that there's no lingering issues like he's had in the past, but he's just playing tight football. Hodgie, have you been there where you're under the pump as a skipper and your own individual performance has become a concern?
It always goes through. Footy is such a roller coaster game that you are going to go through form slumps. But I think the issue for them as well is that he did roll his ankle against Sydney and missed that last part of that last quarter, but they still gave him best on ground on Friday night. And it wasn't a game that was close to his best.
Mm.
I think that shows that support around him needs to lift.
Mm. All right. Observation number three. Is Gary Rowan's return on disposal the best in the AFL? Like RFI, return on investment.
Makes a massive difference to that side, I reckon.
I'm watching him going,
yeah,
this is the best 8 touch game I've seen in a long time. And then so I looked up his numbers. He's played 184 games. His average disposal across 184 games is 9.5. and one goal. I mean, that's underwhelming numbers for any player, but he's just there as a presence. He's going to hunt you down with a chase down tackle. He attacks every ball in the air with everything that he's got. Yeah, yep. He makes some errors and questions over his performance in finals and big games, but I just thought him coming in, some critical contests in that game, I thought for an 8 disposal game, he kicked 2 goals. I thought he was terrific.
It was a huge upset, really. I know they're the premiers, but it was a big upset.
They had no right to win that game. Mm. No right whatsoever.
Can you remember with Rowan, Chris Scott said, if you looked at his highlights, a minute 50 of his highlights, you'd be up there, rated up there with the best in the AFL ever.
Mm.
Almost fell off my seat. But if you go through and look at some of his highlights, he's got that freak ability. He's quick off the mark. Mm. He's got a fair leap on him, got some good hands, kicked some pretty amazing goals. But I guess his big knock has, as you said, Kane, has been in the big finals, whether he's been at Sydney or Geelong, where he has struggled in those bigger games.
He certainly finished that argument, though, last year.
Yep.
0433981116. Those players that don't need a lot of possessions to have maximum impact. And you probably play with the best that there's ever been, Hodgie Cyril. I mean, I just looked up his average disposal. It was 15, so a lot higher than Gary Rowan's, and he kicked 1.5 goals a game. But
ROI, return on investment. Don't mind that.
Return on disposal.
We've got to change it. Rob.
Observation number 4. I heard John Ralph, and this isn't a crack at Ralphie, but it's bizarre to me, say that if the goey gets 4 weeks, the club will be happy to let him go to Bali or wherever he likes for a holiday. And I thought that's the wrong message to send, isn't it? Like if they send him to Bali in this 4 week period that he has off, or 3 weeks, whatever it is,
well, they're
I
not
think
send
that's
him.
The dumbest
question
thing
is,
I've ever heard.
The question is, send what him. Do they say if he asks or he tells them he's going?
No, you're staying here to do a mini preseason so that when you come back in 4 weeks, you're going to be ripped, you're going to be hard, and you're going to hit the final series in ripping shape. That's what you say, Hodgie.
Surely we've got to a stage. He's got to the stage of his life that he's mature enough. He's had a solid 18 months. He is not asking to go to Bali. Yeah, and if he goes to Darcy Moore and says, hey, Darcy, can I go to Bali? Darcy is that skipper, goes, hey, mate, you're not going to Bali. What it is where if you've got 3 days surely off where your teammates have 3 or 4 days off, you can go and have a little trip around and have a bit of a freshen up.
Yep.
But you're staying here where we can keep a little bit of an eye on you.
When you mentioned that as a possibility, everyone here laughed. Well, so that's the reaction.
Well, I thought Hodgie for a second was going to say he can do what he likes, but I'm glad
Hodgie said Vegas,
we're all
but then
on the
he
same
came
page.
Back.
You should be if you want to get away to Port Ferry for 3 days and have a nice sleepy long weekend, I'm okay with it.
Queenscliff's all right.
Let's be honest. Jordan Dugo is not going to Port Ferry for 3 days.
I know. But it would be ridiculous if they allow that to happen. So we'll wait and see in the next
couple
of weeks.
Where would you allow him to go outside of Victoria?
He can go within Australia for a couple of days. But
can he? He can go
to Dubbo for a couple of days.
He can go to Bondi and spend some time on the beach during winter, but he's not going overseas.
I think where his maturity has come over the last 18 months since the last Bailey incident, that I don't think that would be even crossing his mind. He knows he's had a really good season. He knows their football club's in a really good position.
Surely.
He'll want a couple of days to freshen up and then hit, as you said, hit into a 3 or 4 week block. So he's firing for the end of the year, hopefully anyway.
I hope not. Righto. Liam Baker plays game number 100 this week. What a great pick. Like one of the all-time great rookies. Now, I looked at the coaches' votes. He didn't feature. I thought he was the most important player for Richmond. So he's pick 18 in the 2018 rookie draft.
Horny will be onto that tomorrow night.
He's elite. So he's everything that you admire about a footballer. He's tough. He's versatile. You need 3 of him because he can play forward, which he did on the weekend. Clearly, he's done a lot of damage across halfback, and you'd love him in the midfield as well. And he's really classy. So 9 score involvements, and I thought he was exceptional for the Tigers. So congratulations to him on game 100. What a pick.
Votes in that game were Jack Riewoldt got 7. Shea Bolton got 5. Taranto got 5. And his numbers are starting to get scary for you, Kane. Callum Ward got 5. Noah Bolter got 5. And Tom Green got 3.
Jared, it's not the number, as I've explained. It's what he does with the number.
No, I'm just that's giving you the number of coaches' votes.
Yeah. A little cheapy.
Coaches' votes would be at 43. Yes, same as Connor Rosie.
Connor Rosie, yep. All right, observation number.
You've seen it already.
I was finishing your sentence.
Of course I've seen it already. What do you think? I'm living under a rock. Just a quick one. When we touched on it before 6 o'clock, can we warn players back off the mark? This 50-metre to Chase Jones is farcical, and I get if you're not in the marking contest, all of that. Just the umpires just got to say, hey, Chase, come back 2 metres, like they usually would.
Common sense.
And like we've expected to do. So I hope the AFL can clarify that, because it's the second week in a row that it has cost a goal.
But it's an understanding of the game, though, Kane.
But he didn't go over, Hodgie. But he didn't go.
I know. No, I'm 100% agreeing. He didn't go over. But even the umpires have common sense to go, they're 60 metres out here, and then they bring it to within 10. Like, it's
been labbed. He went over.
Well,
by a centimetre. But this is understanding of the game, Sammy. This is a big punishment.
If they apply the same
centimetre.
I agree with you. The punishment exceeds the crime, which you said earlier, but he did go over.
But if they apply the same degree of discrepancy that they give themselves with the 15-metre kick, which can be anything from 8 metres through to 15, then you would say it's not that far over.
Yeah, it was ridiculously harsh.
We agree, this is a hard game to umpire. There's no doubt about it. This is a really hard game, but that's where the umpires have to have that common sense approach, where it's like, if he's a centimetre over, if he's half a metre over, just give him a little bit of a leeway. If he's taking the mickey and goes 2 or 3 metres, yes, pull him back and give him 50 metres. But that was a joke. Well, there's been two over the last, as you said, Kane, over the last 2 weeks, there's been two.
One four and against the Suns.
Let's lab the umpires measuring 50-metre penalties now, if we're going to lab everything. Because how accurate do you reckon they are with measuring their 50s? You're a real umpire defender.
Down to the next umpire.
He's a real umpire defender. I'm on to you.
You're looking at me.
Yep, I'm
just
on to you.
Just don't disrespect the lab. Once it's labbed, it's in stone.
Apologist. And observation number 7, and it's not, I don't say this with any glee or anything like that, but just sometimes holding off on a contract really comes back to hurt you. Sometimes it's beneficial. I reckon we saw Dustin Martin 2017 hold off and be rewarded, and rightly so. But Tom Duday to hold off on that contract, Adelaide would have loved to have signed him. There would have been offers on the table to sign him. Such an important player for them. Great leader. He said, nah, hold off. I'll discuss it at the end of the year. Now, unfortunately, you rupture your ACL. So that's the game. I was always one, though, Hodgie. If there was a contract in front of me, I was more likely to sign it, because I was an anxious mess, and you take what's in front of you and the security of that more so than hold off. But, it's a big blow for Adelaide and Tom Duday.
Yeah, and I think that's always the risk, that the player has that chat with the manager, and they have that frequently. I went out of contract once, and that was 2019. All the other times I'd signed either mid-year or even the year before. So it's up to the player and the manager and the advice that the manager normally gives to the player.
Do you think he was going?
I reckon probably was. Yeah. Like, I think it's rarely players wait and then sign. Like, it does happen rarely, but more often I think he's a restricted free agent, Sammy. Mm-hmm. If you're waiting and past sort of the halfway point, round 12, and he was in no rush at all.
Well, it can depend. It can be to maximise. So someone like a Sava Radicalea hasn't put pen to paper yet on Geelong, and while he plays, he stays. But he's taken a similar risk. He's out now, incidentally injured, not as severe, of course, as Tom, but he's banking on the fact that his value will increase as his performance.
Parrish would be the same. Another one.
Exactly.